to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. Heard the angels singing. Someone calls your name. You turned and saw a young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now.
Hallelujah.
Then he said, but wait. Teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart.
Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a light that was shed.
Before you said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry.
Oh, yes.
You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today.
Giving to the Lord, I am a light that will change.
Thank you for giving to the Lord.
I am so glad you gave.
One by one they came. As far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaim. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry. And I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand, you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request, if you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Traveling mercies for Brother Barry English as he travels to Florida to visit his parents. Also pray for Sister Tina, who is suffering from a migraine headache. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. Brother Kirk Sacker wants to offer this testimony. He wants to thank everyone for your prayers. Last weekend, as he's recovering from surgery, everything has been going very well. He's back in the services with us, so thank the Lord for that. Sister Linda Jablonski wants us to remember her mother, Sister Joanne Tessa, while she is away. So just pray that the Lord would be with her also. Sister Linda wants us to remember her in prayer. Brother Jack Roberts is in service with us this morning. He had a total knee replacement, and he wants to just thank the Lord and all you people that prayed for him during his recovery. I think this makes 31 days since his surgery, and he's walking on his own without the aid of a cane or a walker or anything like that. And so he wants to praise the Lord for being with him and watching over him. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want to pray for Brother Tracy. He's in the hospital with pneumonia and dehydration. No visitors at this present time, so we'll keep you updated as that goes along. Brother Tony Wheaton sends this request in. Dear Saints, my wife and I would be grateful if you all pray for our little girl who is only 6.5 months old. She's been suffering from constipation for a while now and having trouble moving her bowels. Please pray that God will heal her soon and she'll be well again. Thank you, and may God richly bless you. So we certainly want to pray for that little child, that the Lord would be merciful unto her situation. I want to pray for Rachel Moyer. Moyer from Ohio needs healing in her body, so let's remember that need today. Sister Linda Maxwell, as I understand it, got to go home, and we just want to continue to remember her in prayer, that the Lord would touch her body. The doctors really don't know what her situation is as far as her illness, but we know that we're serving a God that's very mindful, and He knows everybody's situation, doesn't He? Do you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? How many of you enjoyed the service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Praise the Lord. Brother Dale Smith just brought us a wonderful message, and I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word this morning. Also, Sister Joanne Smith, she sang for us last night. That's Brother Dale's wife. She's going to be giving us another song this morning, and well, we're just certainly looking forward to that. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Amen. Before we go one step further, turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Do a little bit of thanks, Brother Harry. Let's sing just a little bit of thanks this morning before we pray. We want to say thanks. We want to say thanks. Amen.
Thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I want to give you thanks. We want to say thanks, thanks.
Now, just before we pray this morning, I'm going to let you be seated just for a second or two. As you know, today is Veterans Day. Brother Daniel is going to come lead us to the Lord in prayer just in a minute on behalf of our prayer request. But I want to take the, I never served in the military, but I certainly have an appreciation and an admiration for those that did. And the older I get, the more I appreciate their service to our country for their sacrifice that they made so that we could live in a land of freedom such as we do. I want all the veterans, if you would, I want you to stand this morning. All the veterans, if you will, just stand to your feet. Now, if you've served in the military, just give us a minute of your time. Stand. Just take your time to look around at all the service personnel we have here this morning represented at Happy Valley. Probably 30 or maybe 35 of you. Well, we want you to know this. On behalf of this assembly, we appreciate you this morning. We thank God for you. We certainly do. You can be seated. We certainly thank the Lord for your sacrifice. Brother Charlie, even a prisoner of war, and I know that goes, if you want to. All right, 3 minutes. Come here and get the microphone so we can hear you.
Wow.
I'm going to hold on to your coattail 3 minutes.
You better hold on to me. I'm liable to fly away. I was a prisoner of war, and I'm saying this for the glory of our Lord and Jesus Christ. I got shot down on my 12th mission. I was in the Air Force. And when I got shot down, I started to drift towards the target that was being bombed. And my pilot did that, and he got killed by the cannon, the flag that was being shot at the formation. I started to drift that way, and God was in control of my life. I started to pull down the shroud of the parachute, and I started to drift the opposite way. Who was in control? When I came down, the Germans were shooting at me as I came down. And as I approached the ground closer and closer, they stopped shooting at me. Who was in control of my life? And I was a Catholic at that time. I fought for my religion at that time. But God had his way. And here I am in the Lord's way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Charlie, I just believe this. If nothing else, God saved you for us. We needed you here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Daniel, if you'll come, lead us to the Lord. We got so much to be thankful for today, church. Isn't God good? Has God been good to you? Has God really been good to you? Give him a big hand clap of praise this morning.
I never got shot down, but I've been shot at. I remember the missiles going over our head when we was in Desert Storm. And I remember coming out of the bunker one night and look up, and I saw something going right over top of me. Just a couple minutes later, and I hear a big kaboom. And you know, God takes care of his own, don't we? And I often think back about that. I think what kept me, what kept a whole lot of people was people back home praying for us. Amen. God's good to us. I got a son in the military. I'm proud of him this morning too. Amen. As we pray for these requests, let's remember those men and women that's on the battlefield this morning that's fighting for our freedom. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this service this morning. God, just to know that you say you'll never leave us. Never forsake us. God, no matter what happens in life, no matter what the situation may be, God, we know that you are in control. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this service this morning. Thank you for health and strength and in life and what you mean to us. Heavenly Father, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne, knowing, God, that you know each one of them. God, we pray that you'll stretch forth your hand, that you'll heal this morning, that you'll deliver, that you'll comfort, Lord Jesus. God, that you'll take complete control. God, we pray that you'll bless Brother Dale this morning as he brings the message. Help us, oh God, that all of us will just Get everything else out of our mind that you might have complete control. Be with our pastor, God, whoever he is. Watch over him this morning. God, those that's traveling, give them mercy on the highways, Lord Jesus. God, we pray that you'll bless this service now, Lord, that you'll take complete charge. Those boys in the military, those women, God, be with them, Lord Jesus. Watch over them, protect them. God, we thank you for this day. Take charge of this service, God. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to say welcome. We're glad to have you. Those that are streaming the services, may God bless those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. The deadline for changes to the church directory will be next Sunday, November the 18th. Please make changes on the forms they have provided for you over in the library, such as address, phone numbers, family additions, etc., whatever, any changes from last directory to this current one that's being made. You need to make changes in regard to that. Please do so. And I know they'll appreciate that. Sometimes that's the only way to get a hold of people, just look in the church directory. And it's been a very big help. So let's sing a song this morning. Brother Dale talked about it in his sermon last night. There is a land that we're homesick for. Won't be no wars over there. Won't be no heartaches. No more aches, no pains. Aren't you looking forward to going to that place? Let's sing about it this morning, if you will.
I have seen some pretty times. Yes, you could say I've been around. I found no place to settle down. But there is a land. I am just a pilgrim here, toiling through this world of fear. My time to leave is drawing near.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to that land.
There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before.
I've got loved ones.
Oh, yes, we do.
20 on that shore. There here anymore. I'm longing for that open door that leads to that land.
Say it, buddy.
So I'll dry my weeping eyes, lift my head toward the sky. Farewell to Laodicea, goodbye. I'm going to that land. That is my land.
There is no land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it.
I've got loved ones. or on some borrowed distant strand. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. There is a land.
Hallelujah. Amen. So much to thank you for. So much to thank him for. Let's sing a little bit of this song this morning just before we change the order of the service. I believe you, like myself, we've got so much to thank the Lord for today. So much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Yes, I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for. You see, you can be seated this morning. Sister Joanne Smith, if she comes this morning to give us a song, I know you're going to enjoy her. Let's pray as she sings for us this morning.
I'd like to give a special greeting to my sister Bonnie, who lives in Montana. Has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through. How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? Has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day was worth living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been?
Let's stand to our feet, if you will, this morning. Brother Dale Smith's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. I know you're looking forward to the message this morning. We made an announcement last night about the Winter Youth Retreat that's going to be held December the 28th through the 31st. This year it's going to be held in Newport, Tennessee. I think they've been having that in Michigan for the last few years. So this year they're going to move it to Newport, Tennessee. Brother Jimmy, I guess you have information in regard to that maybe in the library. He can get it for you if you need it. If youth, it's 17 years of age and up. So if you'd like to look at doing that this year, December the 28th through the 31st, we're happy to have Sister Rebecca Coffey with us in the service today. She sent word that she was here, but she was not available to sing because of a throat situation. But we're certainly glad to have her in the service with us this morning. Glad to have all of you here. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Amen. Let's sing Our God Reigns. Our God Reigns. Let's sing this little chorus just before Brother Dale comes to bring us the word of the Lord this morning. Aren't you glad that you're serving a God that's still in control of every situation? Our God reigns this morning, doesn't He? Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. God. Amen. The Bible says that there is no God like our God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to the Psalms 119. I want to thank you all for the wonderful reception, participation last evening. I enjoyed myself. I guess we're always nervous when it comes to handling the Word of God and standing behind this desk. But at the same time, I don't know of any other place that I would rather be. Man, to know what the Lord Jesus done for me and to know where He brought me from, where I could have been. Amen. And to know that I will be able to stand here this morning. I wanted to run out and see who all my military folk were, but I figured I better stay put. But to all those of you who did serve, and some gave and some gave all. So we're thankful for the lives that were given. I have an uncle that fought also. He's in was lost over the Pacific in the Second World War, Pearl Harbor, and have a long line of military folk, and I don't like talking about it because I get the balling on you. But Semper Fi to all of you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we want to look at Psalms 119, and we want to read one verse of Scripture there, verse 54. Psalms 119 and verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, Lord, we've come, oh God, to gather on this beautiful day. Lord, we could remember those that fought and died, that served in the armed forces, but Lord, we're looking at a different army this morning. The army of the Lord, Joel's army, a great host. Each one of us have come. We live our lives to fight against the wiles of the enemy, spiritual wickedness in high places. For it is not a battle of flesh and blood, but against powers and in principalities. Lord, so we honor all the faithful this morning. All the dedicated that are willing to bear the banner of Christ. Lord, we just pray this morning as we look into the Word of God that You'll, Lord, that You'll give us fresh inspiration, Lord, anointing from heaven, Lord, as we just look to You, Father, we realize that there's none good, no, not one. We realize we've all born in sin. We're sinners without hope, but Lord Jesus, this morning we can stand here as the redeemed of the Lord. We say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so this morning. That we are those that have been bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father, for the privilege of being here, gathered, numbered with the elect of God. May You bless each and every one. Bless our pastor, Lord, and these that we that are on the battlefield this morning, many ministries that go from this place. I think of Brother Siler, Brother Darrell Ward, Lord, different ministers that are out today, Lord, for this great cause that is cause of Christ. We pray for them each one today in Jesus' lovely name. God bless you, friends. You have your seats this morning. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Interesting passage of Scripture we read this morning. It's been very dear to my heart. When I was a little boy, I was not raised in any kind of Christian church, and so what we knew to be songs that we knew growing up, well, we got them from the radio, you know. Was raised under out west in New Mexico, so there was a lot of old, Marty Robbins and old songs like that, and old ballads and things. And
a lot of country and western music, and so I grew up singing those old heartbreak songs, you know. That's all we knew. I remember walking down the road singing, you know, Charlie Pride and stuff like that. That's the only songs I knew, you know. And I knew those songs by heart, and I learned them, and I had the old LPs, you know. We'd sit there and listen to them old songs. But I remember as a little boy, I guess y'all have them here, they're more of a storm cellar type deal. We had them, we just call them just a root cellar back home. And it was usually up underneath the house, and an old slanted door come off the side of the house to keep the rain out of the cellar. And I used to sit on that and roll my Hot Wheels down the cellar door and sit there in the sun. It was on the south side of the house. And I had an old grandma. She was raised kind of Wesleyan holiness, I guess, but she had long backslid from the church. But her upbringing had left her with a playlist, I guess we'd understand today. She had a lot of old songs that she would sing, and honest to God, I couldn't understand a single word. I mean, I just couldn't understand. She was from Oklahoma. She was just kind of a hillbilly, Arkansas hillbilly, and she sang through her nose, and oh, it was quite a twang to it, you know. I thought she sang like an angel. But my grandma would sing, and she'd sing old songs and old ballads and things of the old days and things. But every now and then she'd come off. She sang this one song that I just never could understand. She went, "Farther along, we'll understand it. Farther along, all by and by." You know, just singing this old song. I can still hear that old twang as she'd sing that song out. And she'd stand, live in the sunshine, you know, and all this old song. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. I didn't know who she was singing to. And never been to church, you know, per se. So, well, by and by I got saved. And you know, I found me an old songbook, and the first song I memorized, and I wish I could sing it today, but I can't. I start bawling. Was that old song of the church. And I remember another one she'd sing, and I really liked it. We got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land where we'll never grow old. Oh, someday yonder we'll never more wander. Oh, them old songs of the church, you know, and I learned to begin when I got saved. One of my favorite books to read that was available, you know, you got all the little message books, you know, y'all got them still? You ever read them anymore? Well, they do you a world of good. One of my favorite ones was a sermon called Only Believe. Yeah, it's the Only Believe songbook. And I read every song and every word and every line. And if I didn't know the song, I'd make up a tune for it. Oh, I remember walking up through Sabino Canyon, just walking. Oh, I got a voice like a rooster crowing, but I don't care anyways. Amen. I just get to reading them old words, and I get to singing them songs that I knew. And I'd sing from the bottom of my heart. They meant something to me, friends. They still do mean something to me. I think it would do us good to go back. Learn some of those songs, rehearse those. I appreciate my wife singing that song this morning. Went so well with my thought. Music. Music was given to the church. We find that the devil has perverted it. He's taken it, what was a good thing that come from the presence of God, that originated in the very throne room of God, where angels begin to cry, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." Amen. Music, stringed instruments, things like this. David talked about how that the songs, he said, "Thy statutes have been my songs. And so what David was doing was he was going back and pulling out from the laws of God, the writings of Moses and the things that were available to them as the Word of God. He would take those things and they became the statutes or the guideposts of his life. David then would take those songs, and as he would walk in, maybe out on the desert hills out there watching after his father's sheep, you know, and the inspiration would strike him, and he'd pull out his little harp and he'd sit down there and he'd begin to play, you know, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Why? Because there was an experience that he had had. He had walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He had faced a bear. He had faced a lion. He had stayed out all night watching sheep and hear the wail of the jackal and the different animals and things out on the desert. And there he would play them songs and bring himself comfort. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." What was it? He was taking the word of God that said, "I'll be with you. And I will bless your coming in, and I will bless your going out. And if you obey my commandments, then your fields will be blessed, your flocks will be blessed, and all these things will be blessed." And David began to sing those songs about those things. He'd get so inspired, and he had a gift. Great warrior David, Brother Bam says, they went on back down. The spirit departed from Saul. He had backslid and went so far away from God until the spirit had left him. Said an evil spirit took his place and come on Saul, and Saul got all moody and in a bad humor. I know it hurts a little, but we all get that way, don't we? Backslid on God and getting a bad humor. Watch what he says here. And kicking things all around. Ooh, Dad, look out. Kicking things all around and all out of sorts, like some people gets on Monday morning. Maybe prophecy. Just remember this tomorrow. Said it was all out of sorts all the time. Did you know that's an evil spirit? Exactly. He said the doctors couldn't do him in. This man was really having some anger management problems. He was a real spear chucker. He was not one that to be reckoned with, you know, not one you want to be around when he was in bad humor. It got to the place where doctors couldn't even help him. All the Prozac and all the drugs they wanted to give him wasn't going to help him no more. Got into a place. What was it? It was a demon. Demon spirit had come up. "Oh, come on, man. Confess it. It's a spirit. Spirit makes you do those things. It's a spirit that causes you to get all angered up like that and kick things around and have a temper fit. You know, God's prophet said that temper will keep you out of the rapture." It's a demon. It's exactly. Doctors couldn't do him any good. And they had a lot of doctors down there. But they couldn't help that. Because it was a spiritual condition. So one of them men had passed around and seen a few places. He said, "Well, you know, there's a divine healer at." He said, "Do you know where there's a divine healer?" I said, "Why? Who would that be?" Said, "Well, Jesse's got a son out there. He's a divine healer." Sure he was. He healed by music. Amen. That's what he did. He had a gift of casting out evil spirits. The Holy Spirit hadn't come in those days, so he cast them out by music. Playing the words of the Lord. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And it disturbed the evil spirit so much that they left Saul. He said, "Shame on you people who don't believe in string music." He said, no wonder. Evil spirits never like it. They have to get away. David cast out devils by playing on his stringed instrument. And that's what the scripture says. That's right. And when David would begin to play, the evil spirit would leave Paul. Is that right? So this little boy was born into the world for a purpose. A purpose. He had a gift of divine healing. And so these songs that we have, different people within our own ranks and songs that have been written. You think about how many times that we as Christian people, I don't know about y'all, but I make a lot of mistakes. I probably like Saul sometimes. I hope I'm not backslid, but I get a little ill humor every now and then. And if I say something sharp to my wife, and you know the ones that will make you the maddest are the ones that are live the closest to you. And so the ones you love the most can hurt you the most. And you can hurt them. And so we have to be very sensitive to one another and take care of each other and watch out for each other's feelings, because that's, you know, we're very sensitive that way, and we don't want to open up a door for an evil spirit to come in. But whenever I find myself failing God, when I miss the mark, whatever it might be, to sin is to miss the mark, to disbelieve God. And sometimes I disbelieve. Sometimes I just don't have the faith, and I make mistakes, and I do this. And hey, I got any company? Come on, help me out. Thank you. Praise the Lord. The rest of you just ain't honest. That's all. And so when I find myself like I can go put on a tape, but sometimes that makes it worse. You say, how can that possibly? Because he's reading my mail. And so I already know I'm a sinner. I already know that I got problems. I already know. And I'm beat down enough. And so a lot of times what I do, and now I'm saying this is, you know, the solution every time. Sometimes we need to get a little bit more whipping. Sometimes we, you know, the Bible says to spare not at their crying. Just because you're crying don't mean they need to stop whipping them. Sometimes they'll start crying before you ever touch them. You ask them, what are you crying for? I ain't touching you. So I'm just practicing. That's right. And so you spare not for their crying, you see. There needs to be a little blueness of wound there. You gotta feel it. You gotta feel religion. You gotta feel your conviction. Amen. The prophet of God said the reason we don't get nothing from God is because we don't repent correctly. Amen. You gotta be able to look up into the face of the Lord Jesus and see the mark of spit running down off his face, and the tears are running down, and the blood running off his face, and see the suffering and the passion of the Lord Jesus, and then you can feel your guilt once in a while. But then when you get to feeling it, then you get a touch from God, you know you're forgiven. Amen. Nothing like feeling forgiven. Then, you know, what do? You're going, amazing grace. Oh, amen. What is it? You start feeling and now David said, the songs, the statutes have become my songs. I can't always tell you, amen, what grace is. I don't know the chemical breakdown or the molecular structure of grace. I don't know it. I can't tell you what it is. I can't explain it. All I know is that it's amazing. Amen. It's amazing. That's what grace is. It's amazing. And so David began to write the word, and he talked about the house of his pilgrimage. Well, that seems a little bit almost contradictory, because how can you be a pilgrim and have a house? People that live in a house aren't pilgrims. Pilgrims don't have a house. So David was talking about a house that was on the move. It was his little tent, his little tabernacle. Amen. Is what his little place that went with him, his little pup tent that went from little grass patch to little grass patch to little clear or still waters to, you know, over here in a little grass patch where he led his sheep around. Then it got to a place where he had a time where he was running from Saul. And so it was from cave to cave. And then it was from city to city when he had to hide among the Philistines. He had to hide here and go there and hide among the priests and eat the showbread and all these different things. David was on the move all the time doing something. But all along the way, oh, there was a song that he had to sing. All he talked about is, he said, remember not the sins of my youth and let not mine enemies triumph over me. Oh, David could begin to sing about the different places that he had been, the different battles that he had fought and all the victories that God had given him. And he began to sing and would get inspired. Hallelujah. Oh, and that's the way the Church of the Living God is. I got a little list here. I won't, for the sake of time, I got a little list here. I just took the liberty and went through a song book. You know, I got a song for every letter of the alphabet. Absolutely. Oh, I got a song for every day of the week and every year of the day. Or every day of the year. Amen. Oh, what is it? Hey, there's enough music written about the things of God that people have become inspired that they could just begin to write music. Now, these songs that are in the house of our pilgrimage, when they reflect back on the Word of God, they reflect back on the grace of God, when they reflect back on His delivering hand and His mighty touch, and they sing about heaven and about getting out of here, and I gotta feel like traveling on, and oh my, we get to sing in those old songs of the church, and it does something to us. Now, I find that what songs are, this is the best way that I know how to explain it. They take the Word, and they make it understandable to all of us. Now you take just for an example. I'm going to take little kids, maybe first, second grade. Where, you know, they kind of understand, communicate with you pretty good. And you take that little kid, and I want you to set him down and begin to explain, who is this Melchizedek? I want you to go over in there and start talking about agape love and how that it vaunteth not itself. Half people in this church don't know what vaunteth not itself means. Can't even spell vaunteth. I have a hard time saying vaunteth. What do you want to come over and take them through the Hebrew series and begin to explain that theophonic descent of God down into human flesh, and how that Elohim would begin to eat with Abraham. Some little kid. How are you going to tell them about the love of God? How are you going to tell them that charity vaunteth not itself, that it believeth all things, that it speaketh no evil, and goes down through all these things? Little kid look at you like a mule looking at a new gate. Huh? But if you get that little fella and sit down, you don't need a lot of explanation. Just change it into a digestible form. Put it in a form a little fella can understand. Something like, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, the little fellow begin to sing right along with you. Amen. Why? Because they understand that Jesus loves them. Oh, friend, we could sing that a few times ourselves, and we begin to realize, oh, that God does care for me, that God does love me, that He shed His blood and died on Calvary on an old rugged cross. Amen. Oh, where my Savior suffered and died. Calvary, amen, was the answer. Oh, hallelujah. I begin to think about the old songs of the church. And when I find myself, so tore up. Who is God? Remember Brother Bam said, talked about how that little boy asked his mama, have you ever seen God? And she goes, well, I don't know. You need to ask your daddy. So have you ever seen God? He said, no, you need to ask your preacher. I went to ask the preacher. Finally, give up on all of it, went out and sit on the fishing boat with the old man. And he's just riding in the boat. Finally, he just says, have you ever seen God? So the old man began to, tears began to run down his old beard. And he sat there and he said, oh son, he said, I've been serving Him for all these years. He said, I ain't seen nothing but God. Why? Because he said, I saw him in the rainbow. I saw him in the clouds. I saw him in the mountains. I saw him in the water. I saw him everywhere. He said, where is he? So, oh, he's everywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, where is God? Oh, can you see him? Oh, let me tell you, God is God. Amen. Oh, God is God. He's God up on the platform. He's God back at the door. Amen. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor. Amen. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. Amen. He's God way up in heaven. And he's God down in my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, my. What is it? What is it when you feel lost? You don't know. You need a help from God. You begin to cry out. You begin to cry out. Maybe you don't know how to ask. Maybe you don't know what to do. But you feel like you're one of those that's lost out on life's pitiless sea. And you can see the old ship of Zion, and you know there's help, and you know there's comfort in the church. You know that God's got word for you. And so you just begin to cry out, ship ahoy! Ship ahoy! Here I am. He'll throw out his lifeline to you. Amen. Draw you back in into the fold. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Songs. Songs in the church. Brother Bram asked several different people what they think about Jesus. He said, let's ask Lowell Mason. He's a great songwriter of the past century. He said, what would you think? Here's what he would say. My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. He said, let's ask Henry Gilmore. He says, what do you think about him? He was an Irishman. He said, he was a restless man. He went all the way through England, different places. What do you think about him? One day the inspiration struck him and Christ come to his heart. He said, oh, forlorn and shipwrecked brother. He said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. We asked J.T. Hayward about the dying thief. He said, that dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. I think that's striking concerning the hour that we live in. When there's so much contradiction and things are being said, but Brother Bram said about that cloud, just to throw in my 2 cents, if that means anything. But Brother Bram said that cloud that appeared over Arizona at the time when God gave him the permission to go in to preach the seals. When that happened, Brother Bram said, you see, you've got to turn it to the right. He said, why? He said, because if you turn it to the right, you see that Christ then is looking at the earth. He said, when Christ then was looking at the earth, he said, that was a type of when Christ pardoned the thief on his right. He said, I was that thief. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, I don't know, that cloud might not mean something to some people, but it means everything to me because it was Christ, the white-wigged one, was looking to the thief. That was me on the right. Oh, that dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day, and there may I, the vile as he, can wash all my sins away. Hallelujah. Oh, my, think about it. Some of you musicians, some of you gifted songwriters. Remember Fanny Crosby when the world offered her a position. Offered her to sell out her gift. Oh, how many times was David offered to sell out? How many times were these different ones offered to sell out? They told Fanny, Sister Crosby, she'd gone blind as a little child, and they told her that she was so gifted to write poetry and things that she should sell her gift to the world. Come on, young people. You got gifts. You got abilities. Don't sell it out to the world. Don't sell your looks out, young ladies. Don't sell out your talents, young men. Don't sell them out to the world. Remember Fanny Crosby when they wanted to buy her gift from her. She turned them down, flatly refused, said, I'll not do such a thing. And they said, well, you're just all hung up on Jesus. Said, you're blind. Said, you're going to get to heaven. You won't even know who he is. Said, how will you find him? How will you even know who he is? You're blind. He said, I could just see old Sister Crosby. And she began to grope in the dark. Says, he said, standing somewhere in the shadows. Amen. Oh, I'll find Jesus. Oh, I'll find him. He said, I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Oh, she could feel, she knew that when she got there, amen, there would be something that would identify the one that had so inspired her soul. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. I thought it was striking. Sister Crosby would also write a song that talked about Calvary and said, bring its scenes before me. A woman that couldn't see with her natural eye, but yet her spiritual eye, amen, was 20/20. Amen, she could see. And so she said, bring the scenes of Calvary before me. Oh, why? Because, amen, I think every one of us could take a trip on a daily basis down to the foot of Golgotha's hill and begin to look up, amen, and say, let my faith look up to thee. Brother Ram asked several different people, he said, let's ask Fanny. Let's ask Gilmore. Let's ask these different ones. He said, let's ask Eddie Pernay. Now, this to me was one of the most striking things. He said, what do you think about him, Eddie Pernay? He said, when he was there in prison, they were making fun of him. He wrote with a pen, and the Holy Ghost touched him. Another place he said, let's ask Eddie Pernay. He was a man considered. They told him that he was crazy. One day, standing in his room, watch how he says this. The inspiration struck him. I know some of you that write music, and Brother Lineal, different ones, that write music, and you know what it is when that inspiration strikes. You know, you feel it. You understand. You know when it's just yourself, and you're just feeling a little poetic, but then you know when it's God. You know when there's a supernatural quickening, that there's something comes from another world, and you know you can just write it without even thinking about it. And I wrote poetry myself that I knew was absolutely inspired of God. He said the inspiration struck him. He grabbed a pen and God let him write to the immortal wisdom. Immortal wisdom. Think about it. That the song that this man wrote was actually a song, as we were saying last night, that came from another world. It crossed over a threshold. It came from a place, from a throne room of God. It came from the immortal wisdom of God, the very mind of Jesus Christ. Amen. Imparted that intelligence into a man's soul. It struck him in inspiration by the Holy Ghost. And here a man, he began to write. And the prophet tells us to write to the immortal wisdom. The crowning of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said it was the baccalaureate message and the inauguration of the church. From over there, he allowed a song to be placed into this world that would be sung in church pews, played on pipe organs in some of the largest churches in the metropolitan cities of this United States and around the world. And they would be singing a song that will be sung when you and I go walking through the portals of glory. It'll be a song that you and I will sing as we take our crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus. But we get a little privilege, a little touch, that we could sing it on this side. Songs that come from that world. Amen. That come over into this world. And you imagine in the millennium the songs that we will sing. When we're sitting around a table 1,000 miles long, looking across at saints and sages, amen, from the day gone by, and the songs that will be uttered from our voices. Can you imagine what you'll feel like 20 seconds into the wedding supper? 20 seconds in the presence of Almighty God. In a millennium with a new body. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. What's it going to be like? And the writer says, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Will I stand in His presence? Or will on my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Or will I be even to speak at all? Oh, think about it tonight. This afternoon, church. Amen. What is it going to be? But yet God allowed the inspiration to come from that world over into this world to so that we could practice. Hallelujah. We'd get an opportunity to practice on how to worship God and what angels and the prophet of God gave us a lesson. He told us, he said, now, he said, if you want to know what the angel liked. He said, only believe. He said the angel liked it. Oh, you want to bring the presence of God in before you go to prayer, friend. So many times we just go in. Well, let's just pray for this brother. Lord Jesus, right now we pray. Oh, God, that you'll come on. Oh, my, just stop and wait on the Spirit. The Bible says pray in the Spirit. And so what do? You just wait. Just maybe hum a little tune. Just get down there. You know, there's power in prayer. There is power in prayer. But sometimes you got to get in the Spirit to pray. Otherwise, it's just words flying out of your mouth. But if you bring the presence of God all right down, you just say, oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that you'll ever need is waiting right there. Just a few words of child's faith. Child's faith. Oh, sometimes we get in our big prayer robe and our prayer shawl and we have to, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me and la, 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 and try to bring up some kind of, you can't bring God up like that. Child's prayer, child's faith. Oh, just approach Him. Amen. Humble before God and begin to pray and God will hear your prayers. Oh, yeah. But He let this man write this baccalaureate message. The inauguration of the church. Now then, we had an inauguration 4 years ago where they inaugurated a president. Wouldn't even put his hand on the Bible. You know, we had inaugurations of all kinds of, you know, different ones, and there's all kinds of conspiracy, you know, and they face the Washington Monuments and all these kind of satanic and Masonic and all these other conspiracy people, and people get all tweaked out over that kind of stuff. That's the inauguration of men. And those men will rise and those men will fall, and they'll be presidents, and then they won't be presidents. Some of them will live, some of them will die. You know, that's just this earth's kingdoms. A little song of the church says, the kingdoms of this earth shall soon before Him fall. But we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Why? Why? Because the church is going to be inaugurated. Oh, my, 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 my. Think about it. The king is inaugurated. When was he inaugurated? Before the foundations of the world. He's the King of Kings. But what about the church? They're going to sing to the inauguration the baccalaureate hymn. When the church gets inaugurated. To be what? Oh, don't let this get too beside you. But it's going to. When she becomes the Queen of Queens. If he's the King of Kings, amen. He's my husband. Praise God that I'm going to be the Queen of Queens. Amen. Oh my. I'm going to be Messiah of Messiahs. Amen. Oh, we're going to be the church of the living God. And when we come in and they begin to sing the baccalaureate message and they say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And he will tip the scepter of the diadem and welcome the church into his throne. Oh, he that overcometh, well, I grant to sit with me in my throne even as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. And we'll crown him King of Kings. And we'll crown him King of Kings. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when we crown him King of Kings. Oh, we will march, oh, hallelujah, around the throne. Oh, it's going to be a happy day over yonder. Oh, let's practice now. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in, I'm going to be one of those ones that John heard. Amen. I'm here and I'm listening for another sound. Amen. A sound that John heard when a city come coming down. Oh, what is it, friends? I'm listening for another sound. But then they waited to the very end to ask a nut. To take a man insane, a cuckoo, a nutcake, one that was missing a few French fries from his happy meal. Come on. One that, an off scourge, one that had been put aside in an asylum that nobody wanted to talk to. But let's ask him. What he says about the love of God. And if we with ink the ocean filled and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Don't sound like a nut to me. Amen. Oh, think about it, church. Let's ask them what they think about it. And they begin to write the immortal wisdom of God. Well, the deal was, as I said, I was raised not to this kind of music. But I found myself, man, I used to like to go to the dances. But I was scared of girls. Man, it just give me the heebie-jeebies. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get out in front of all them people. Twisting and jerking and acting up like that. I just wouldn't do it. I thought it was the most idiotic thing I ever saw in my life. That's stupidity gone to seed. That's right. I wouldn't do it. So we'd go out and one of my buddies, he'd say, hey, look what I got. He'd pull out a big old jug of wine. Well, I said, that sounds like a good idea. So we'd get to sucking on the Mad Dog and Thunderbird and all these other things, you know. We'd get to drinking on that wine. They said, oh man, it's cold out here. Let's go inside. All right. So I kind of go in there. Somehow or another, I started getting some courage. I started, man, I kind of like this music. Yeah. kind of got my old Methodist foot to tap. Yeah, yeah, she's kind of pretty. Yeah, let's go out and have a little more of that wine, wouldn't they? And after a little while, we'd get to sucking on that sauce, and we'd get filled up with wine. And then when I get enough wine in me, oh, then I'd get back in amongst them people and the songs that they was singing. After a little while, I wasn't scared of nothing or nobody. Oh, yeah. We'd get to singing and we're singing the old songs and slapping each other on the back, and country boy can survive, and let's do the two-step, baby. Here we'd go. And around and around. You know, one time I went to a Mexican dance. Well, you can tell one look at me, I ain't got a whole lot of Latino in me. I mean, I can't speak Spanish, but I can sure eat it real good. I like it. I am fluent in Mexican food. But we'd go to mariachi dance. Well, there'd be all them people in there dancing. After a little bit of that mezcal, I was mariachi to the bone. Go in there, dance like I was from Mazatlan. What was it? So I got the spirits in me. What? I got them spirits in me, and so then I could dance any kind of dance that I got involved with. Rock and roll, no problem. Hey, you want to play some ballet, man? I would have been all over the place. Oh yeah, tutu and everything, brother. My mind didn't think of nothing but let's party. I got the spirits in me. Watch. Where did that come from? That's a perversion that come from God. That come from God. You say, no, it did not. Oh, absolutely. The desire to get in the spirit and dance come from God. I'll show you. They asked, Brother Branham standing before the people. He said, now, this morning, if this little group of people, if God would say, now look, William Branham, when I say, look, Dale Smith. He said, I'm going to make you to answer for that group what you tell them. Now, do you want them all, A-double-L, all, to shout? This is Brother Branham's answer. Sure, I want them to shout. The angel then would ask him, do you want them all to speak with tongues? Brother Branham's answer, I want every one of them to. Oh, the old Baptist bones, yeah. You need to get some spirit. You get in the spirit. That's what you need to do. He says, do you want them all? This is God talking. Do you want them all to dance in the spirit? I want every one of them to. All right, well, that's very good. But what would you rather have them to do? So this is the rather. This comes first. He said, I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on their heart for prayer that they stayed at this altar and would be here day and night. And everything else in their house was constantly in prayer, humble, trying to get the people to come to God and to make house calls at the hospital, visiting the sick, trying to get people to come to church and to do right. I'd rather have that than all the other put together. Although the other is right, it belongs in the church. But if I had to have it, I would put that first, prayer. Because if you've got that, the other will take place. If you've got that, or if you just get so hungry for God, shouting will take place. If you get so hungry for God, speaking in tongues will take place. If you're so hungry for God, you'll just keep on hungering and hungering. You go to seeing yourself getting indifferent now. What is indifferent? Where you just don't care. You get an I don't care attitude. Just remember, that's another spirit trying to work itself in there. Now, Brother Bram coming out of the message, pardon, he walking out to the platform, he said, I like this kind of singing. When I was back there praying for some of the people a few moments ago, and this not being a prayer service, just
to speak, I was in there and I could hear the songs, the clapping of their hands. And we wondered, some of them even, I seen them run up and down the floor, what they call dancing in the spirit. At first, I was a critic of that. Sounds like some of us, a little critical. Well, you can start out that way. You can come in that way, but you can't leave that way. First time I was a critic, when I seen the Pentecostal people dancing in the spirit, I thought, what is this? It must be a bunch of nonsense. Then I got to reading the Bible. Oops. I found out that when dancing in the spirit, now the devil copied it, put it out here in this rock and rolling stuff, but the real genuine dance come from God. That's exactly, it's always, watch, a dance of victory. Victory. That's why we don't see dancing in the church anymore. That's why people can't shake out of their, their formality and their staunches and their piety and their starchiness. It's because they haven't got no victory. Oh, you ever get a soul that's got victory, that's overcome the devil, that's laid aside every weight and sin? Oh, they just get so light in the spirit, why they're liable to bubble dance all over the place. You say, well, is that something we should do? No, I ain't saying that you have to bubble dance. I ain't saying you even got to dance at all. I'm just saying that if you got victory, you'll sure show it. Let me tell you, this is what the prophet of God said. When David slew Goliath, this little ruddy looking boy come dragging the head of that giant into the city. The people met him dancing. Why? Because they knew that their sons were not going to be killed by this guy. It wasn't so much that David had killed the man, but they realized that if somebody hadn't done something about this enemy, that their sons were going to die at his hand. That they were going to become prisoners of war, and that they themselves were going to be taken captivity by the Philistines. But now when they saw the head of this giant dragging by the, it wasn't so much that it was David, it was the fact that they had been delivered and that the host of God had overcome the host of the Philistines, and it made the people happy and they went to dancing. Oh my. All right, let me say it how you'll understand it. You see, the Dallas Cowboys are going to beat the Redskins, or the Steelers are going to beat the Cowboys, and the one who wins, the people win, and then they'll shout. You'll shout when the Cowboys win, or when the Tornadoes win, or whatever your team is. Oh, they'll shout when they make a goal. When that guy comes over and kicks that little ball, boom, home run. Look at that. Knocked it plumb out of the park. What do? Yeah! Do the wave. Oh, bunch of idiots. A bunch of, what are they? Brother Brown said a bunch of unholy rollers. That they'll shout and they'll have a time. They'll sit in their couches with their TV monitor behind the... Oh, come on now. They got it hid in the fireplace or something, you know. They got an aquarium. Slides out of the way. Got a 50-inch plasma behind it. Can't afford no fish, but they can afford that, you know. They hide it in there, get it in a secret closet and trap doors and secret pictures. And your tricks are found out. Your sins have found you out. And what do? Oh, they move that. Okay, nobody's here. Pull all the blinds. All right, it's Super Bowl. We're staying home from church, you know, to watch it. And all the rest of our backslid souls are coming over here to have Super Bowl party with us. Some of them are going to get mad when they lose and throw a temper fit. Some of them are getting so happy. Oh, they're going to have a joy of their time. There's going to be a Super Bowl. They're going to jump up. Whoopee! Boom! Kick the popcorn off. Make a mess. Spill all their soda pops. If that's what they're drinking, I don't know. What is it? Unholy rollers. They'll be doing the high fives and the belly bumps and they'll be dancing around. Hell, they made a touchdown. Ungodliest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Oh, but you talk about the cross of Christ. Oh, you talk about deliverance. You start beginning to talk about, amen, the Holy Ghost filling your soul. You talk about my little boy, amen, come down and prayed in an altar. Praise the Lord. My little daughter, oh, she was lost in sin. We thought we was going to lose her. Amen. Oh, Brother Darrell preached and she threw her hands up in the air and God healed her and saved her soul. And now she's a Christian girl, married to a Christian boy, raising beautiful little Christian children. What was it? Amen. It made me shout. It made me dance. I was so happy. My little girl once was lost, but now she's found. She was blind, but now she can see. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Victory. Victory. Oh, my. It's mine. I woke up this morning. Amen. I told the devil, okay, devil, I'll go wherever you want me to. I said, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. I remember one of the first times I ever heard Brother Donnie Reagan preach a sermon. This has been a few years back. But on this sermon, he said one of the most remarkable things. He said that every morning when he got out of bed, he said he throwed the covers back. He said when his feet hit the floor, he said, devil, this is Donnie Reagan. I'm letting you know to write my name down twice. I said, whoa, now that's a man I like to get to know. That wasn't confident in himself, but he knew the experience. I think, whoa, give me an experience. Give me a power. Give me a faith. Amen. So that I could be like Joshua. Amen. I could walk out there and tell the sun to stand still, tell the moon to hang over yonder. I've got a fight to fight. And then when we got done and when Moses got over there, he had a faith. He walked up there and he commanded the Red Sea to part and away she went. The people walked over. When they got on the other side, those Egyptians come riding down in there, coming after him. Oh, they was riding hard after him. And the last one, oh, I just love it. And here come the last one riding up on there. And then Moses said, see ya. Oh, there it was. Amen. They drowned in them all. And then he grabbed the church and they all came together and they said, praise the Lord. Bless God. The enemies that pursued us, we will see them no more. Praise the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you. Oh, help us. Help us. Oh, but there was a little woman named Marion, and she had been down under a cruel taskmaster. She knew what it was like to live in bondage. Oh, and she looked out, and she could see all of her children, and all of her chickens were gathered around her, and they were safe on the other side. And she reached down, and she snatched up a tambourine, and she went to beat and said, come on, girls. Amen. And they went down the side of the river, amen, shouting and singing and praising God. Why? Because God had wrought a great victory in Israel. Oh, glory. Moses sat back and said, that's my sister. Oh, she's a little fanatical. Bless her heart. Amen. Oh, she'll get over her spell here in a minute. Oh, no. But Moses got so happy, the Bible said he began to sing in the Spirit. he began to sing in the spirit and started talking about how that God had delivered them from their enemies and how that God had seen them and honored the prophecy and had obeyed the word. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Oh, hallelujah. Then, one time, the ark under Saul's ministry had been lost and went down into the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines sent it back, and they took it and they put it over in a place, I think it was Shiloh, I can't remember exactly, forgive me on that. But at any rate, it stayed there for a long time. David is over here looking at this house that he had built himself, and it was a real nice place. And you know, it really, you know, he was in Fashion Magazine and all those other things, you know, Country Homes, and you know, Michael was in Country Homes and Living, you know, and they had all this, whatever the names of books are. I don't read them. And, but you know, they were the who's who on the neighborhood. And then, but then David got to looking down there, and this tent was the Ark of the Covenant. He said, is it right for me to live in a house of cedar? And the ark of the Lord to be in tent? He said, no. He said, we need to bring it up here. And so he consulted with the brethren and said, all right, let's do that. So he went down, you know the story, got a new cart, put it on a new cart, brought it up there, falls off, Uzzah reaches up, touches it, gets blown to bits. It did. He didn't just die. If you go back and study the text, he actually got blown up. Yeah, I studied this out. I couldn't believe it. It was one of the ancient writers, or the man-aged writers, said he was actually disintegrated, blown up. I thought, whoa, I never thought of that. You know, boom, gone. You don't touch that. Brother Bam said, you fly up there and try to do that. He said, you will what? Blow up. So, fits. But at any rate, so now, everybody, because they knew it was God. Otherwise, they could have just explained it away as, oh, natural causes. Well, it was natural causes. You blow up, naturally you die. But he blowed up. Because he tried to be something that he wasn't called to do, see? And so now they put the it was right there by the Obed-Edom's place, and so they put the over there on his threshing floor, and they put it there, and now they're going to get prayed through. Thank the Lord. Doing God's service without his will. But now they're in the center of God's will. So now they come and they get the ark. And now then, from best I could tell, it's about 10 kilometers or about 6.5 miles from where they were at Obed-Edom to City of David. Best I can understand. Some of you theologians might be able to correct me on that. But the deal was they went so many steps and they offered sacrifice. And they went so many steps and they offered sacrifice. And they went so many steps and they offered sacrifice. Worship, you see. So they worshiped and then they went a little further and they stopped and they worshiped. And the whole time they're on the move, David, the Bible says, that he danced naked before the Lord. Oh. TMI. I don't want to see it. Let's make this holy, sanctified. When the Bible uses that word naked there, it means that he took his outer kingly robe, the robe that would identify him as a king. He laid that aside. And then beneath that was his undergarment, which would be what a little child would wear as an outer garment. Because garments in those days were expensive. And so they had a little tunic or a little outer garment. And that's what the poor would wear. And then, or little children. And so David and then the priests and different ones, that they're under this tunic, then they would put their outer garment over the top of that. And that gave them the distinction as to whether they were priests or whether they were a worker or whatever. And that gave them a status, you see. And so David, he knew that this was the Ark of the Covenant. This was the Word of God. This was representative of the Shekinah, the Holy of Holies, and the King of Kings. And David was not, because he was a man after God's own heart, that he refused to dance before the ark with his king's robe on. So he shed his king's robe, and now he had reduced himself to a child. And so now as a little boy, then David just let her fly. He just went out there and began to jump and dance and began to rejoice and spin around, which I won't do lest I fall. And, but they did. They would stand on their heel and they would spin around and they would do all these kind of things and they would dance around. And it was, when they would do that, it was typical of actually what the little children were supposed to do, or what they would do when people got too much spirits, and they would do it at weddings, and they would all get around and they would all, you know, do their Jewish dances and da, 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 da. But most people wouldn't do that until they got lit up. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, he said, they'll wine, it gladdeneth the heart of God and man. You know, they'd all get glad in their heart, and they'd get to dancing around, have a good time at a wedding. Well, this was, now think of this, this was David bringing the ark back into its position in Jerusalem. There was all kinds of prophecy for this, and so this was a day that the scripture was being fulfilled. Why? Because the word was being restored to its rightful position. Oh, well. So now, when this word was being restored, then David would dance before the ark. Now then, we realize that just walking outright, a man can cover, you know, 15, 20 miles a day. Hard force march. I've done it, 90 pounds on my back, 15 miles, hard as we could go. One of the most grueling days of my life. But nevertheless, I knew it could be done. But this was only 6 miles. But it had to have taken at least 2 days. How do we know this? By reading the scripture, we find that on the first day that David made a spectacle of himself. He got so happy in the Lord, he was dancing around, and his wife with all of her who's who of Jerusalem were sitting out there in their chariots. And they got all embarrassed and they said, David took off his robe. He's out there in his tunic. He's naked. Oh, the girls were laughing because his old knotty knees were showing. And he was, he's out there dancing and shouting and praising God and slobbering and snotting all over himself. Oh, what a time he had. And that night he come in after a hard day of worship. Hallelujah. Oh, think about it. Hard day of worship. He comes in. Whoa, man. Glory to God. Hi, honey, I'm home. And she's standing over there. I can't believe that you would be so Pentecostal. I can't believe that you would act. You're a disgrace. My daddy never act like that. Yeah. Your daddy had a demon too. My daddy never act like that. Oh, how could a king, why, our status, what are them young women gonna think? And so David, he goes, I'm sorry, hon.
No, sir.
Man, just got away with himself, you know. Well, here, give me your apron. I'll do the dishes tonight. God forbid. Poor, you might have read that in an almanac, but not in God's word. The Bible says that David, he looked at her and he said, let me tell you something. He said, oh, you think I was something today? You think I made a spectacle of myself today? That's my God. That's the restoration of the word. That's the restoring of the word back into its rightful position. And you think I'm going to let myself not worship God? Then woman, you got another thing coming. Because tomorrow I'm going to be twice as base as I was today. Oh, glory. Why? Because David had the victory. David knew that when that ark come in there, that there would be peace in his household. Even after all that he had done, David knew that all his sins, everything that he had done, he knew that laying beneath the wings of that cherub was a mercy seat. He knew that if that would come into place, and he would show favor to God and fall at the mercies of God. Oh, that God would give him the victory. Psalms 149. This is out of the Message. It's a translation called the Message. And you can, if you got 149, Psalms 149 in the King James, you just read along and you'll see a little bit of translation difference here. Hope that didn't bother anybody, but this has got to make a point. You can see what your King James says in 149, verse 1. It says, sing to God a brand new song. Praise Him in the company of all who love Him. Let all Israel celebrate their sovereign Creator. Zion's children exalt their King. Let them praise His name in dance. Strike up the band. Make great music. Why? Because God delights in His people. He celebrates plain folk with salvation garlands. Let true lovers, this is verse 5-9. Let true lovers break out in praise. Sing out from wherever they're sitting. Shout the high praises of God. Now your King James will say, praise Him with their two-edged sword in their hand. Is that what it says? Yes. And a two-edged sword in their hand. I looked this up. I thought this was striking. Just so interesting to me. But this man translates this in a different way. He says, let them brandish their swords in the wild sword dance. Oh my. It's a portent of vengeance on the God-defying nations, a signal that punishment is coming. Their kings are chained and hauled off to jail, their leaders behind the bars for good, and the judgment on them carried out to the letter, and all who love God in the seat of honor. So here he's saying, praise Him in the dance, but not only that, but brandish your sword. Pull out your sword. Well, we have to go back and study martial valor, martial arts. Under martial arts, what they would do, you take the different ones. You have the I think they call them the Moguls and the Mongols, I think it was. And the samurai and the ninja, all these different martial arts. But then also you had the ones that were in Arabia. You have the different ones in India. You have different ones in the tribes, the indigenous tribes of the United States. The warring tribes. You had the Zulu down in South Africa. That they all had a version of what they called it the wild sword dance, but it's also called the warrior's dance. And in the warrior's dance, each one of these, in order to be a warrior, now then, we were United States Marines. So, United States Marines, we did not have what we would call a dance. Thank the Lord. But we did what they called drill. And so drill was where they would take, and the Russians do it, and the modern armies do it, where they teach their men, and Brother Bam talked about the old Russian soldier with the goose step and the different things, men marching. And so it's this marching or this display of unit coordination. And so these units would coordinate and do different things, and they would do rifle drills, and they would go out and do all these kind of things and throw their rifles back and forth one to another. And this was a show of their martial disciplines. But in the day when we didn't have guns that we threw back and forth, what they had was swords. Or their weapon of choice, whatever it be, a mace, whether it be a battle axe, whatever it might be, a spear. Different ones had different weapons of their choice, whatever they were. And so they had to learn to handle that sword with such precision accuracy that they could do martial feats with this weapon of choice. That the old gladiators and different ones, the knights, you know, they would ride with their horse and their lance, and they would have to take a ring off of a peg, you know, with their sword, or they'd cut an apple off the, you know, or whatever, off a little swinging ball or whatever, you know, shoot, whatever. They had to do something to show how great they were. Well, then they would do this in an exercise, And what the armies would do is they would face one another and they would send out a group of men to do what they call this wild sword dance. Or maybe it was like the night before to get the soldiers into a euphoric frenzy so they could go out into battle and it would take away all the, it would take away all the fear. It would take away all the dread of war. And so these men would dance, but now we're thinking about the peoples of Jehovah. The children of Jehovah, now then, they were dancing, but it wasn't just to show off martial valor, but what it was a form of worship. That they were actually praising God for the ability or the knowledge of His power in their life. And so they would go through all these demonstrations. And so it was a form of spiritual worship. And so when David was writing here, he said, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them break out wherever they are and praise. Brandish their swords in this wild sword dance. And so what this would do is they would go in the face of battle and they would take these razor edge, you know, katana swords and they would wheel that thing around and jump over the top of it. And they'd have these big long, nomads of the desert, you know, they had the big old saber sword, big curved swords like that, and they would wheel those things, and you had their folks in the Orient that they had their form of that, and they razor sharp. They could throw a silk cloth in the air and cut that thing right in two with their swords. They were so sharp. And they were just lethal weapons, and they would fight with these things. Now, what was it to do? It was to prove to the enemy that I am skilled with this weapon. Oh, hallelujah. So now we come down to a time where you and I, hey, I don't have no sword like that. But I got one like this. And so now David said, thy word. Amen. The statutes have been the songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And so now, as I begin to see that where it talks about in the Word of God, He says that He's the Lord that heals all of my diseases. That's the Word, and I begin to handle that Word with a strong hand of faith. And as that faith begins to wield that sword, it says that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the Bible goes on to say, He says, I'm the Lord that heals all of thy diseases. He said, I'll be with you, even in you. Oh, He said, I'll send you another comforter. What is it? These are words that we learn to handle. He said, we're going to handle this word and we're going to show the devil that the word of God will defeat him anytime, any place, and under any circumstances. Oh, what is it, little warrior? Amen. Begin to read your Bible and pray every day. Begin to study to show yourself approved. Amen. A workman. Amen. That needeth not be ashamed. I don't want to go out into battle. I don't know how. Where is that scripture? Where is it where it says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, I know it's in the Bible. The devil's standing there looking at you. You don't know your word. You don't know the Bible. You don't even wish come first. You know? Who come first? David or Saul? Who come after the prophets? Who come after, where know the chronology of your Bible? Most kids don't even know. Can't even recite the books of the Bible anymore. You don't know none of these things. You used to make a little song out of it. What is it? This is our sword. Learn to handle it. Learn to know what it is. What it means to you. What is this? This is God's thoughts. It's God's word concerning you. I was privileged, and I say privileged, and I mean that with all my heart, to go up among the Eskimo people in Chivik, Alaska. While I was there, the pastor of the church there, Brother Andrew Boy Scout, he gave me a little history lesson on the Chupik people and the what had happened, their little history of where they were and what they'd come through. And that they were, at that time when I was there, they were under a kind of a renewal, where they were bringing back some of the old customs that had been lost because the Catholic Church had gone in there. What had happened was in a day past, they would, the Eskimo, they were just hunter-gatherers, and they would go out and they would hunt for seal, they would hunt for, goose or whatever it was, and they would go out, and then they would take the animal, they would bring it back because they lived to eat, you see. I mean, they hunted to live. It wasn't pleasure stuff. And so they would bring this back. Well, then they would come back. Then they would do what they called the dance of whatever animal it was that they took, whether it was a goose or a seal or a walrus or whatever. They take that and they would do a little dance, and the little children learned this dance from the time that they were old enough to speak. And so every word had a choreographed move that went to a day meant something, a walk meant something, the kayak meant something, and they had a little choreographed move for every word of the language that they had there. And so when they would bring in an animal, then Dad would serve it up. They were Eskimos, so they ate the food raw. They didn't cut it. Or they didn't cook it. So they just cut her open and dinner was served. I seen a video of it. It was horrible. Thank God, Brother Andrew cooked the food for me. But nevertheless, they ate the blubber, they ate the eyeballs, they ate everything, just everything. And so they would rejoice because it was a victory. We got to eat today. Dad provided. And so they would rejoice at this. Well, then the Catholic Church moved up there. And so now this dance that was once a dance of victory, a dance of rejoicing. They were more of a, I forget what they call it, like a, just a, wasn't really a organized religion per se. They just, it was a shamanism type thing, where they just worship creation, worship God of light. Brother, I'm talking about the Indian, he lived a good moral life, he treated his family right, took care of them. He'd go out on the mountain, look up to God in heaven, created everything. And thank God and said, Jehovah looked down and smiled at that. And so that's where they came from. But now Roman Catholicism would come in. And so now what would happen is that old priest, he would want a portion of the kill. Yeah, right. So he would take a portion of the kill. And then they had to cook the food, which they was not used to that. And then they would do other things. They took their children out of their homes. They made them go into parochial schools. They whipped the kids, you Catholic people, what that's all about. And so they had to go through these parochial schools and all these other things. And now they had to come under this organized religion. And now their language, they had to learn the language of whatever that priest was. And so, because he had to communicate with them, and so he was bringing them, making them more civilized, you see. And so then, now, the dance that they would dance, whoa, that was pagan. That was evil. So now you have to come under our form of Trinitarian pagan religion. At least they were monotheistic, they were at least they believed in one God before. Now they're polytheistic. More pagan than they ever were, but they took away the dance. And so they went many years like that. The brother was telling me how that there was one, I believe it was one of his relatives, grandfather or great-grandfather, that after so many years of being under this Catholic bondage, people were cold, they were hungry, and he just saw the faces of his children and how that they were just depressed and oppressed. And finally one day he and I read his little memoir there was a little notation of it. He said in his own writings, he said, I rose up that day in a fit of rebellion. And he says, I will restore the dance to my people. And so he went under his bed or wherever it was, he got a little tom-tom kind of thing, a little drum. And he began to teach the language back to his children. He began to show them. He began to give them the songs back. He began to teach them the choreographed moves and what it meant for a day and what it meant for life. And so he began to explain all these things back to the children. And he said, and the children, they got happy. And so now this dance had been restored back so that when they would see that God had provided, then they would begin to dance. And so this became a renewal among the indigenous tribe of the Eskimos. Well, when I got there, they explained all this to me. And then there was one of the brothers there, his brother Andrew's brother, took me over for breakfast one morning. And he was a big fella, and we had pancakes, and a little old place there, just a real small little house, a little one or two room house, and the living room and the bedroom, everything all in one little plywood house, humble little family. And so we ate there and everything, and then this brother, he tells me, he says, I wanted to go hunting. He said, but I pulled my knee. He said, I blew the cartilage in my knee. He said, I can't, because you walk in the muskeg up there, it's like a tundra, and your feet would sink down in it, and when you try to pull your foot out, it's like a suction, you know. You try to pull your foot up. He said, when I try to pull my foot out, it just hurt too bad. You couldn't walk. He said, I really want to hunt. He said, it's goose season. He said, I want to go get some goose. And he said, we really like those. And he said, man, I wanted to go do that. He said, I just couldn't go. He said, my leg hurt too bad. He said, so I just dreamed about it. And I thought, you just dreamed about it. He said, well, it was like a daydream. And I'm going, right. I do that. I just don't tell nobody. How many hunters I got? Come on, honest brethren, honest hunters. And when you're sitting in your stand and you're looking at that dark spot in the woods over there, and you just imagine how many times has that big Boone and Crockett come walking out of there? I see him. Yeah, he's gonna walk out and he's gonna come over that little bush right, he's gonna turn sideways no more. It's all gonna be over. Man. Oh, maybe I'm gonna come over this way. And you're visualizing the end product. Y'all do it. The ones that won't admit it, you're just lying. I'm telling you. It's the same guy thing with the golfer. He's looking at that. He says, this is going right up on the green. I can see it. Poof, tops it. Goes clean to the other side of the next fairway. The guy's visualizing. Bambi walks out. She'll eat. Twat. Well, you know, but you visualize. Well, this is what this brother did. He said, so I dreamed about it. And I'm going, okay. But I don't tell my dreams about it. I just did, but, you just don't go around telling everybody, you know, these things. It's just not something you want to give them the picture, you know, you want to give them, show them on your phone. Hey, I got this one for real. So he's telling me, but I understood kind of his plight. He wanted to go hunting and he couldn't. And so now they just kind of visualize. And I didn't know what was coming. And so I snuck up on these here geese and, you know, three of them went up. He said, I only had three shots at my shotgun. Three geese. And I'm going, yeah. Like that. All right, brother. Amen. Then he goes, do you want to see the dance? Now he had me. Uh-huh. And I go, what was I going to say? I was at his house. Sure. He reaches over, gets a 5-gallon bucket, starts thumping on the side of it, started singing a song. If I remember, he sung it in their native language. As soon as he started beating on that drum, this little boy comes out from underneath the covers. I didn't even know the little kid was there. Well, I knew he was there, but I'd lost track of him. And he's a little bitty fella. Boom, out from underneath there, standing in front of Dad. And Dad starts on it. And the little boy's going, boom, 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 boom. He's going like this, and he da, 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 da. And I remember all the little dance he did, but he was just going all around like that. And all of a sudden he goes, da, 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 da. He got all three of them, boo. I'll tell you right now. I mean, it was good. And I was sitting there going, this is wild. But I didn't understand. Then that immortal wisdom dropped down. I said, oh my God, that little boy just danced out his daddy's thoughts. And I began to think, oh God, Oh, let me walk my life. And every time I hear your thoughts, Heavenly Father, let me live them out. Let me dance to the tune of the word. Let me walk in faith. Let me have that glory, that grace in my life that every day, everywhere I walk, every time I talk, amen. Oh, let it get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. When he begins to talk about the baptismal walk, I'll go walking right into the baptismal. When he begins to talk about the healing line, I'll come right into the healing dance. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to do a healing dance. I'm going to do a turn my head dance. I'm going to do a thinking man filter dance. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk to the tune of the word. I'm going to do an apply the token dance to my family. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to live the word of God every day of my life. When God goes to talking, I'm going to go to dancing. Hallelujah. Oh, when he gets to start the talking, amen. Oh, one of these days, I'm going to do a rapture dance. Whoa, what's that going to be? I don't know. Amen, I'll just wait till I get full of the Spirit. Amen, and I won't worry about it. Amen, oh, I'm going to get so drunked up on this thing. I'm going to drink enough. Oh, hallelujah, this new wine of the stimulation of the revelation of the word until finally, amen, whatever God says, I'll believe it and I'll do it and I'll act it out and I'll be a part of it. Why? Because it's the language, amen, that God has transferred down into the immortal wisdom. I begin to write it out and I'll start doing the baccalaureate, amen, dance, amen, in the inauguration dance. Oh, hallelujah, I'm going to do a wedding dance. Amen, I'm going to do an engagement dance. You said an engagement. Oh, absolutely. You know we're being engaged. I'm going to quit. I don't want to, but I will. An engagement dance. You know what an engagement is? It's when a man agrees with a woman that they will go to battle with each other for the rest of their lives. That's right. That's what it means. An engagement is a military term that says that we will go to battle. We're in this thing forever. We're going to fight it out. We're going to work out our differences. We're going to sit down and we're going to have a peace conference. We're going to have a parley. We're going to come down. We're going to discuss these things. We're going to have a conference with God until we get this thing satisfied, until we've got it all worked out, and we're not going to let the sun go down in our wrath. And I'm going to do an engagement dance. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a marriage dance. I'm going to do a betrothal dance. I'm going to do a wedding supper dance. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. What is it, friends? I'm going to do a worship dance. I'm going to do a wild sword dance. Oh, I'm going to handle the word of God every day. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study to show myself approved. Oh, I'm going to do a preaching dance. I'm going to do a worshipers arise dance. Worshipers arise. Amen. Let the musicians arise. Amen. Let the church come together. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the worshipers arise. Let your sons and your daughters sing. Amen. Hallelujah. What is it? It's a day to give praise to God and to worship Him. Oh, I'm going to do a repentance dance. Why? Because I've heard from God. I've heard His voice. Oh, I'm going to do a Calvary dance. I'm going to come to Calvary. I'm going to take up my cross and follow the Lord dance. Why? Because the word has come in this last days to restore. He said, I will restore the dance to my people. Oh, friend, let me tell you, if a grandfather, amen, could bring back an old pagan dance, amen, to a group of little children, what about a word that would be restored by Almighty God back into the people that would give you victory over the devil? Oh, my. Amen. Oh, think about it, church. What is it, the hour that we live in, friends? If the word is restored back, oh, we're some Davids that said when the Spirit of the Lord came. came on my heart. I said, I'll dance like David danced. Oh, I'll pray like David prayed. I'll sing like David sang. I'll sing of the words. The word of God becomes music to my lips. And I begin to quote the scripture. Oh my, though, amen, he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'll go there. I'll follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will do the following dance. Amen. Oh, I'll do the worship dance. I'll do the praise dance. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Amen. I want the worshipers to rise tonight. You folks that aren't worshipers, well, you can sit down. But let the worshipers arise. You have to help me sing it out, brother. I don't know. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Father, amen. I see that you
that's it.
A line in the sand.
That's it.
I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons of the devil sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. The song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, here I pray and dream. This is a song.
Almighty God, Lord, we praise you. We lift you up, Lord. We exalt you, Almighty God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. Father, I praise you. I adore you. I magnify you, my liege, my king, my Lord. Oh, the prince of all my life, my husband, my lover. Oh, my darling, I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, I pray for this church, Lord, for these people. Oh, God, may you hear from heaven, Lord. Hear their prayers, oh, God. We say we hear, let this rock, oh, be a witness. Oh, that we have heard and we shall do all that is written in the book. And we shall sing of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me. Oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. and all that is within me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Oh, for He loosed the seals. Hallelujah. The Lamb has prevailed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. Wonderful. Wonderful. I love You, Lord Jesus. Bless Your children, Lord. Oh, God, let them, Lord, let them see Your word fulfilled every day in their lives, oh, God. Let this day, this scripture be fulfilled in our ears, we pray. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? I like it like that. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in the Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Everybody now, isn't He wonderful, wonderful? Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in the Word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Hallelujah. I know over in heaven, I got a little granny. I hope she got to hear the sermon this morning. Amen. But just come to me and, well, we might never see each other in this life again. But if we could sing that little song farther along. Amen. Just in remembrance of my dear old granny. I love her. I know one day I led her to the Lord. She told me, she said, Dale, honey, will I ever get to heaven with hate in my heart? And I said, well, Grandma, you know better than that. You know you wouldn't make heaven your home like that, or you wouldn't ask the question. She goes, I just don't know what to do. She says, I hate my daddy because he beat my mama every day of my life. And I said, oh, Grandma, that hate ain't got him in prison. It's got you in prison. And so we got over to the couch. And we knelt down there. And that little 75-year-old woman, I led her to the throne of God's mercy. Oh, she got gloriously saved by the grave. She lived for God the rest of her life. Oh, my. I'm sure over in heaven, she'll say it farther along. We'll know all about it. Let's sing it together before we go. Let's start with a verse, or a chorus there. Starts, cheer up my brother. Where am I at? Oh, farther along, we'll know all about. Thank You, Jesus. And farther along we'll understand why. Hallelujah. So cheer up, my brother, and live in the sun. Oh, we'll understand it all by
tempted and tried with all me to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Oh, farther along. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we'll know more about it, Father, in that great millennial kingdom. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we understand why. Oh, cheer up, God. Glory to God. Oh, I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. I really, really love Him. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. All this morning, if we change the order and dismiss our service, But before we do, if we bow our heads just for a moment. You would say, Brother Dale, I'm lost as I can be. But I don't want to stay lost. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know the Lord. And I want Him to change my song today. I want Him to take away my songs of the world and put in me a new song. I want Him to let a melody ring in my heart, sweet and low. Oh, I want a new sound in my ear. I want the songs of Zion in my life, not this worldly, corrupted, sin-ridden world. I want to be free of that today. You'd say, Brother Dale, I want to be saved. Don't pray for me. Don't let me. God sees those hands, friends. Don't be lost. Find a place with God this morning before you go. Come down and pray. God will hear your prayers, friends. You don't have to dissect it and make it so complicated. Just begin to confess your sins correctly to the Lord, not to a man, but to God. There's only one mediator between God and man, And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Confess to Him your sins. Confess to Him your all. He'll take you into His loving arms and He'll save you. Gloriously heal you today. If you need prayer for the sick, we'll be glad to pray this morning. We have a handkerchief to pray for this morning as we dismiss this service. Heavenly Father, we realize that they took garments from the apostle. Lord, and it wasn't the apostle, but it was the Holy Ghost in the apostle. And that faith had come from a word that our prophet tells us was when Elisha had sent his staff with his servant to lay upon the dead boy. And Father, that was a point of contact, a symbol in the Word of God. And so we take this morning these garments. We lay hands upon them. We pray, God, that where they will go, that their bodies will be healed and demon spirits will be driven away from the people. God, that they'll be healed. Father, for each and every one that raised their hand this morning, and Father, for every believer in this church, oh God, would you take them from this place? Minister to the every needs, Lord. Let the songs of the church just begin to roll through their minds, oh God, and that, Father, that they'll find strength, oh God, and that inspiration would begin to move upon the gifted, Lord, that they may bring us word from another world, from the other side of the river, oh God. And let us practice, singing these songs on this side. Worship that will be received over on the other side. That you said that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, come and inhabit us this morning, we pray. Bless these your children, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And as we pray for these ones,
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed through your precious blood I found pardon and my sins are washed away. All of my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon. Sins are washed, they're all washed away. All of my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me, Lord. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. All of my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. Sins are washed, they're all washed away. All of my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through precious blood
bless each and every one of you and keep you. Man, until we meet together in that place just beyond the river. The old song of the church says, and we'll sit down there. You'll know me by the smile that I wear. We'll sit down by the river and we'll old acquaintance renew in that city that's built four square. May the Lord bless you each one. In Jesus' name we pray.
When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk of His amazing grace. I wanna thank Him for the love that He bore and not leaving me alone. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time at His throne. Gonna take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk of His amazing grace. I wanna thank Him for the love that He bore and not leave. Gonna take my time at His throne. Oh, and when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. And when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk of His amazing grace. I want to thank Him for the love that He bore and never leaving me alone. When it's my time, I'm going to take my time at His throne. Take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I wanna take my time to talk to His amazing grace. I wanna thank Him for the love that He bore and not leaving me.
Jesus.